one too. All right. How's everybody doing? You guys doing all right? Good to see all our friends from Blake House with us. Good to have all our folks here. It's good to be in the house today. Nick's going to be leading Bible study tonight, and I've got just a few things I want to kind of throw out there to start with, and then I'm going to turn it over to him. Just a couple of announcements for everybody. Remember, next Sunday, not this coming Sunday, but Sunday week is Family Day. So hoping you guys can join us and all that stuff. We'll have the grill's going to be wide open all morning, volleyball, horseshoes, all of that type of stuff. Just kids will have all their play toys, you know, water toys and all that. So just a good time of fellowship. So we're looking forward to that a week from this Sunday, not this Sunday, but Sunday week. Everybody remember the baby bottle boomerang for the PRC. And if you haven't got your baby bottle, I've got them in the side room. I moved them for last Sunday, and I can bring those out. And everybody just be mindful, bring them back. They're one of their big fundraisers, and it amazes me. They kill it doing that. It was like $60,000+ they raised last year with the baby bottle. So everybody just remember that. And I just want to come in. Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer before we get started, and then I'm going to throw a few things out, and then we'll let Nick jump in, and he can come off the top rope, and we'll high-five him, and he can run with it. So, Brother Keith, you want to lead us tonight?
Thank you for this another opportunity to gather amongst your people, Lord. And Father, we pray for Brother Keith as he stands to break bread, and let us hear your word, Lord. Let us receive it. Let us act upon it. Father, we continue to lift up Jacob and Stephanie, Lord, and at this time. And Lord, let them continue to seek you for comfort. And Lord, just we thank you for the body that stepped up to the plate, Lord, and hit a home run. And Lord, I'm just thankful to be a part of a group of people who united in this time, and my hat's off to them. Lord, I ask for the gift for forgiveness that I wasn't one of those that went above and beyond, but ever thankful to be part of the body. Lord, I just I pray that you continue to bless Brother Sid and Sister Lori, Lord, in their business, Lord, here in the church, Lord, just have your way and will. We're thankful for those that came out today and for those that could not. Lift up Brother Kenny and Brother Dole. Guide the doctor's hands, and Lord, let your will be done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Brother Keith just touched on it. We want to keep lifting up Brother Kenny, buddy. Did Kenny get to come home today? Are you supposed to come home today? Anybody know? He was supposed to come home today, but y'all keep lifting him up. Carla's been having test run with her heart as well. That's actually how they diagnosed her or got Kenny in the hospital. She was down there for a test, and the cardio doctor was like, Kenny, you're all right? You don't look so great and all of that stuff. And so he came and started listening, and he was like, you need to go to the emergency room right now. And so just pray for both of them and just the whole family. Doyle's having a procedure done on his leg tomorrow to clear up some buildup and stuff that's in there that's restricting his blood flow. So I'll be praying for him tomorrow as they do that procedure as well. I want to just kind of bring you guys up to speed real quick because y'all won't have a clue what's going on. Don't know if you heard, but one of the young couples in our church, Jacob and Stephanie, they sit right over there. There was an accident this past Friday, and their 3-year-old daughter was killed. And so y'all can imagine how devastating that is to them and to the church body. And they're just a real, really plugged in family in our church. And we love them so much. And so it's been a very, very difficult past 5 days. For them and just for everybody involved, and a lot of you guys are wrestling in how to minister your children through this and everything, and it's challenging, that's what we're dealing with as a body right now. I want to come in and commend you guys as a church. Y'all were amazing this past week. I have been so impressed with the church body. You know, James and I were talking a few days ago, and I don't remember, that my days have just kind of run together the last 6 days, 5 days. And James said, this is what church is supposed to be all about. He said, this is what the first century church was all about. And you guys have really come together and stepped up, and I just, man, I appreciate that. And it has blown away Jacob and Stephanie, and it has blown away the family. I promise you, it is just, well, Lori and I are over there every day. We kind of tuck them in at night late. And, you know, I said, I come over and just hang out with, you know, we don't even knock. We just kind of slip in and start eating their food and all that and everything. But it has really blown away them and the family. The funeral service on Monday was just phenomenal. The presence of God. He sat down in this place, and everybody was just so moved by the presence of God. And a lot of you guys really, man, y'all worked your rear end off parking cars. They told me that they parked 400 cars, and there was probably we're guessing about 800 people that were here. And you know, you figure two per car, so there's probably 800 people here. It's probably the most people that's ever been in Victory Fellowship, and they got a good God encounter. In the midst of something that was very horrific, they got a God encounter. And so I just want to thank you guys for facilitating that. I want to just to hit a couple things before I turn this over, Nick. The Lord just really had stirring in me. And it ties into what just happened this past weekend and where we've been in our teaching the last couple weeks. This past week was absolutely the most difficult ministry week that I've ever had. It was absolutely the most difficult ministry week that I've ever had. But in the same sense, it was the most fulfilling ministry week that I've ever had. And the reason being is because I feel like we did everything right. And I cannot, there's not often that I can say that, Jeremy, because usually it's like, well, you know, we got, you know, we 70% or something. We got it right on this so far. We've got it right from Friday up until now. And we were doing what we were built to do. I actually had to repent this afternoon to God. I was like, Monday after the funeral, me and Nick were sitting down here talking. I'm like, dude, can you teach Wednesday night? I said, I'm just toast. I'm exhausted. I just ain't got it in me. I just need to sit down on the front row and just soak and all of that stuff. And this afternoon, I felt remarkably, even though I'm very physically tired, I felt remarkably refreshed. And God told me, He said, in your weakness, I'm made strong. So don't ever think you don't have anything to give. Because when you rely on Him and what's in you and this treasure that we have in earthen vessels, that's when He is made strong, and that's when He's made. That's when He steps up and He shows out, and people experience God. They don't need an encounter with me. The difference in what we have to give and what good old Buddy Rowe that went to high school with them has to give. They've got friendship they can offer. We've got friendship and the Holy Spirit that we have to offer. We've got God's peace that we have to offer. We've got God's hope that we have to offer, and that goes deeper than a bucket of chicken and a pat on the back. Which is needed too. I'm not just throwing that under, but I'm saying you have treasure in earthen vessels. And the reason that, and I know a lot of you felt the same way, because I saw it on your face after Monday, because a lot of these guys, they park cars in the rain for 2 hours. They ministered, you know, you ladies, Tiffany, and a lot of you ladies, man, y'all worked yourself down on stuff in there. I know where Errol and Leah, they've worked themselves, you know, in a frenzy ministering to Stephanie and things in the house and all of that stuff. But everybody that I talk to, they walk away from this, and you can see a sense of fulfillment on them that I was doing what I was built to do. I was doing what I was supposed to do. I was, and here's the thing, just what, 2 weeks ago, I taught on Beyond Purification. Y'all all remember that teaching on Beyond Purification? When the Lord, I had that real good God encounter on that Friday out at my house, and God began to give me revelation on what was going on in this church and in the church. And He said that we have got so addicted and hung up on the purification. He carried me to Esther. And church has become a consistent cycle about us coming in and getting purified. And this weekend, with everything that happened in Jacob and Stephanie's life, you guys went beyond purification. You went beyond a place of it didn't matter with me or what's going on with me or whether I'm flawed or whether I'm pure or anything else. You went to a place of how can I minister to somebody that is hurting way beyond anywhere I've ever hurt. Amen? And that is the reason that you've walked through this exhausted, but you've walked out of this extremely fulfilled. Because you see the impact that you're making in somebody's life. You see the kingdom that you're releasing into somebody's life. And that is what we're wired for, guys. We're not wired for just coming in here and having good preaching and good worship and getting our praise on and all that. I love that as much as any of you guys. But there is something that is deeper than that and more fulfilling in that is going to carry us to new places with the Lord, and that's doing what we did this weekend. And I'm not saying that we got to look for, you know, well, the next tragedy, and that's when we're going to step up to the plate and all that. So. You know what it looks like moving forward from here? Being the friend that Jacob and Stephanie need. Ministering to them. Ministering to others. Checking on other people and all of this stuff and releasing into other people's lives. Our kids. Huh? Each other. You know, we got a good glimpse this weekend of what it felt like as far as First Century Church. And I have been a part of some amazing revivals. I've been a part of some amazing revivals here. I've been a part of some of just the presence of amazing revivals in California, in Hamilton, Alabama, up in South Carolina, with Hope Chapel. I've been a part of some amazing revivals, and the sense of kingdom proper alignment that I feel right now trumps every revival I've ever been in. Trumps what I felt at Brownsville. Trumps what I felt down at the Christian Harfouch's place. Trumps anything down there. Because this is what church kingdom life is supposed to be. Okay? And I bet I'm not the only person that could say that. I bet I'm not the only one. Any of you guys that have been in the middle of this thing, you know, with them, not just Monday, but have been in the middle of this thing with them, I guarantee you every one of you's got that same sense of feeling here. It's not a pride in what I've done, but it's a sense of fulfillment that this is what I was built for. This is what I was saved for. This is what I was filled with the Holy Ghost for. Amen? This is the reason that God's done all this stuff in my life is for a time such as this. And so I want us as a body to learn from this, to continue to move in this, and continue to minister in this capacity, okay? Because you guys, y'all were, God through y'all was amazing. Y'all were good people, but y'all can't do what God did this weekend. But God through y'all was amazing this weekend. God through y'all was amazing Monday. God through y'all was amazing. And that's what I want us just to keep moving in, keep pressing in, okay? And because that trumps all the other stuff. That trumps that trumps my best dance. It does. It really does. So, with that being said, I just want to encourage y'all in that. That was an encouragement because God through y'all was awesome. So I want to encourage y'all that. So now I'm going to let Nick run with it and let's see what the Lord has through him today.
And what it boils down to is hosting the presence of God. That's all it boils down to, is hosting the presence of God. And that happened Monday. We could talk to you guys about what happened Monday, and I didn't get to see everything and be a part of everything, but the presence of God was hosted in this house. There's no doubt in my mind whatsoever. The presence of God was hosted in this house Monday, and it was hosted by you, Robin, probably moving more chairs than any man around here did, and Sharon and everyone moving chairs. God performed miracles Monday. There was, how many people did you say were here? 400 to 800 people. There's not 400 to 800 chairs in here. There's not room. There was not a person left outside. Not one person. I looked outside and I said, there's going to be a few hundred people that's got to go home. I said that several times to several guys. When it was all said and done, everyone's sitting down in a chair, and miraculously the speakers outside worked perfectly, which I don't know when the last time that's happened was. And so God performed miracles, but it was all about hosting the presence of God. And thank God and thank Victory Fellowship, not because we're Victory Fellowship, for hosting the presence of God. And that's the scripture God took me to tonight. Jamie reminded me of this a couple of days ago. We got to hear it. The scripture and the story where Jesus is in town and the man with palsy gets lowered down after they've ripped the roof off. Thank God for a house that hosts the presence. Right? Thank God for a house that hosts, because without a house that hosts the presence, miracles don't happen. Without a house that hosts the presence, multitudes don't gather. Without a house that hosts the presence, people aren't able to be sick. People aren't able to be learned from the Almighty. There's not a place for God to inhabit without a house that can host the presence. And I told Sid, you guys get a double dose Monday. We hosted the presence Monday. But there's no doubt in my mind with the presence of God was felt in here. Whether it was the time where everything stopped and the rain just poured and washed everything away. There was so much peace in that. And the maker of the heavens and the earth gave that moment to us because we had enough about us, whether it was moving chairs or parking cars or speaking, to host the presence of God. And so kudos. That's our goal. Whether it be in worship, whether it be in preaching, whether it be in teaching, whether it be in learning, whether it be in making chicken and patting somebody on the back, the difference between what we have to offer, what God has to offer, and what the world has to offer is the presence of God. And that should be our goal, is to host the presence. So God just kind of spoke to me on that. I witnessed it. I watched it happen Monday, and it was a blessing among everything else. Among being tired and all those things, whatever, that was a blessing Monday. The presence of God was here.
Over there, he said it was perfect. He said, and that's from a dad that is mourning the loss of a child. He said today was perfect. I said, we didn't get to edit the video yet, brother. I don't know if Jeffrey did or not. By the time I said, we didn't get to edit the video, or I don't know if we got it. He said, it was perfect. It doesn't need editing. And that's coming from somebody that's going through that. And it was because of hosting the presence that he could make that statement. Go ahead, sorry, brother.
We need more edification.
That's what God tells us, to edify each other. And so all that is edification for the house, that we're striving for what we're supposed to be striving for. And that's the host of presence of God. And if someone in that status can say that, there's no denying, there's no intrigue in a heart or in a mind that can deny that the presence of God was here. And so God took me to that scripture. It's in Mark 2, and I'm going to read the King James Version. I actually had to steal one of the King James Bibles off the shelf in the back because I didn't have mine with me today. I came straight from school up here. I just like the wording in this, and it's Mark chapter 2, and there's probably 107 sermons that you could preach out of this or teach out. And I promise y'all, I will do my best to find my teaching vein tonight with you guys. I teach all day long, and it's fun, and I love it, but every time I get back here, I just kind of want to yell and scream and preach and get everybody in the altar so we can get closer to God. But I promise you, I will do the best I can to use that vein with you guys tonight. Mark chapter 2. This is the story I just told you guys about, but I want to read some scripture. So Jesus has been healing people. He's been teaching, and all those things have been taking place. Chapter 2, verse 1, it says, "And again he entered into Capernaum, and after some days it was noised that he was in the house." That's one of the reasons I chose the King James scriptures, because it was noised. We will come back to that here in just a second. That's good stuff to me. It says, "It was noised that he was in the house, and straightway many were gathered together, insomuch that there was no room to receive them, no, not so much as about the door. And he preached the word unto them. And they come unto him, bringing one sick of the palsy, which was born of four. And when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was. And when they had broken it up, they laid down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. When Jesus saw their faith, he said unto the sick of the palsy, Son, thy sins be forgiven thee." Completely off topic, actually. This is just another instance in the Bible where the faith of man started and caused the supernatural to come out of Christ Jesus. This happens all throughout the New Testament. He says, because of your faith, because of their faith, I'm going to start moving in something supernatural. That's the way Jesus' ministry was actually activated. Mary said, "Hey, I need you to get some stuff done." He's like, "No, it's not my time." She was like, "Yeah, okay, whatever. Y'all go do whatever he tells you to do." and he starts his ministry on earth because of the faith or because of the request of man slash woman. The woman that follows Jesus from the ends of the earth because her daughter needs a miracle. And he turns around and tells her, shoo, get away. He calls her a dog. She stays. And he says, he turns around and says, woman, because of your faith, she's healed. Take off. Everything's good. The woman that presses through. Well, wait a minute. Your faith is taken care of. Not his faith. Not his decision to stop, turn around and say, all right, come here. I'm going to heal. Your faith. So let it be known that your faith can actually activate the supernatural in your life. It's your faith that actually activates Christ showing up in a supernatural way in your life. It's not Jesus. Jesus will do from time to time. He'll sprinkle miracles on you. But if you want something, it's that whole sports analogy. If you want it, go get it. How bad do you want it? It's your faith that will activate the supernatural in your life. But anyways, he says, that was an old saying, that was free. But there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning in their hearts, why doth this man speak blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God only? And immediately when Jesus perceived in his spirit that they so reasoned this with him within themselves, he said unto them, why reason ye these things in your hearts? Whether it is easier to say to the sick of the palsy, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise, take up thy bed and walk. But if ye may know that the Son of Man hath the power on earth to forgive sins, and this is what he says to the man with the palsy, I say unto thee, arise, take up your bed, go thy way into thine house. And there's the story, and there's the scripture that we're going to read tonight. And there's so much good stuff in there. And we've heard sermons preached from that, we've heard teachings from that several times, and there's probably everything I'm going to say has been said because it's in the Bible and people have brought this up. But God actually gave me some revelation to myself that I got for the first time out of this. God said, I want you to go through and I want you to get all the types of characters that are in this story, this history of this happening. So I did. So I started going through and talking about and highlighting the characters. Well, the first thing that I really enjoyed is there was noise about that. So there's obviously noisemakers. Okay. And we're going to get back to those folks. So there's noisemakers. There's the crowd. There's the people crowding the house, right? There's the sick. There's those that carry the sick. There's those that question. And then my favorite one, I think, that we should try to get to is there's the host, which is really not even mentioned that much in the story, okay, is the host. And so I characterized all those, and then God said, okay, what do these people do? I love Merriam-Webster. I love definitions. And so I dove into those things and started coming up with what these folks do and what happens. So going back to verse, I think it's 2. No, it's verse 1, actually. And again, he entered into Capernaum, and after some days, it was noised that he was in the house. Great moves of God in the house don't happen without some noise. Okay? You've got to make some. Noise makers are key to great moves happening in the house. Because without noise, without people saying, hey man, did you hear Jesus? He was coming. That's what happens at, I guess, Milltown Music Hall. Hey, you know, Josh Stritt's coming this weekend. And people talk about it and they buy tickets and they show up and they go. Okay, or whatever. Whatever old act that doesn't make money anymore that goes to Milltown, whoever that may be. Sorry. I know that hurts somebody in here. I'm sorry. I've offended somebody. If you have aught against me, I apologize. Turn it off. Take this. Yeah, it's done. It's over. But whoever that is, you're not hearing it on whatever the main radio station is. There's no advertisement saying, hey, you know, so-and-so's down there. There's the local radio station, and the people around here, they talk, and they go buy tickets, and people show up. You've got to have noisemakers. How often have we missed opportunity to make noise? This guy. How many times have we left here on Sunday and said, man, I really wish Joe would have been here this morning because that was what he needed. Well, why wasn't he? How much noise was around the presence of God that was in the house? How much noise have we made? Do we host the presence in this house? Absolutely. You've heard the father of the house already told you that this morning, that we've hosted the presence of God here. How much noise are we making? How much noise are you making? And I know this is very simple, but how true is it? How guilty are we of it? You've got to have noisemakers. Noise are the ones that cause the ruckus. They're kind of the hype men. They're the ones that say he's going to be there and they keep the conversation going. Noisemakers are not loud for a little while, quiet. They continually keep the conversation going. So I guess the challenge in that tonight, and again, there's about five sermons out of this, and I wanted to get everything out tonight, and we can continue to develop them whenever. But are we keeping the conversation going? Okay, so let God challenge you tonight a little bit with that. Yeah.
We hadn't been over there 2 hours or an hour after everything was over here. And there was already stuff on social media. Somebody, and a lot of you probably saw the blog, and I don't know who these people are. I don't do social media, but they were showing Jacob and Stephanie and their parents and I were like, hey man, read this. So-and-so put this. So-and-so put this. Somebody wrote an awesome blog about the funeral service and put it, I don't know where what it went on, but they just showed me a copy of it on their iPhone. And there were people that were immediately noising what God had done. They weren't singing Victory Fellowship's praises. I don't even know if Victory Fellowship was mentioned in there. It was simply talking about Ryland's funeral and how awesome God was and all of that. So, there was somebody that was doing this stuff, and that creates the...
That creates the conversation.
It does.
That creates the noise.
Yes.
We're called to be noisy. We absolutely are. You're not called to be quiet in your faith. You're called to be noisy.
Noise that somebody else started.
That's how it works.
Yes.
It's not a one-man show. It's the community. It's a community of believers, and that's what church is. So that's absolutely hosting the presence of God by making noise about what He's done. So that's one step that we can continue to host the presence of God, is to make noise that He is here. The next people. Are we the ones that are crowding the house? And this is not a bad thing. It's going to sound like a bad thing, because as you read the Scripture and you go along, and it says that they were coming in to take the man with palsy in there. It says, and when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof. They could not get nigh. And earlier in the Scripture it says the door was crowded. And it was standing room only. You could imagine, because everywhere Jesus has went and everything that we've talked about, and every time we talk about Jesus going somewhere, there is normally a crowd, because they are there to be in the presence. They're there to see the man God, right? They're there to see, is he going to heal me today? Is he going to do this? I don't know. And so people show up. And sometimes you got to be the person that's in the crowd. But being in the crowd can cause a problem. Okay? Being in a crowd can cause a problem. People that press in for personal gain with failure to see the big picture due to seeking self-gratification is what I wrote down. If that body of believers was acting as the body of believers and looking to host the presence of God and witness miracles, when they brought that man up with the bed behind them, they were poking into him. Instead of going, sorry, you guys should have got here earlier like it was a rock concert, they would have said, hey, y'all watch out. This cat right here might need to get healed. He needs a little bit more Jesus than I do. But instead, so many times, we're worried about boxing people out and saying, this is my place. I got a seat right here. We went to Eddie James Sunday night. Eddie James was in Buchanan Sunday night, by the way. And it was, yeah. Yeah, I know. It happened. I got good news, though. He's coming back, and they kind of want us to part. I forgot to tell you that already. July 1st, Eddie James will be in town, and they want us to kind of partner with bringing it back to kind of publicize it a little bit more, and I don't know if they'd rather use our place or not. But anyways, we went to go see Eddie James Monday or Sunday night, and it was awesome, and people, they did the thing. They were putting 15 purses in the seat, like, sorry, this whole row in this church of 53 is saved for me. And it's kind of like, okay, I guess we'll stand over here for a little bit. But we do that because we're there for us, and we're there, and that's not a bad thing. Sometimes you got to be there for you. But we ought to be mature enough, right? The strive is to get past being the crowd member to moving on to being the host, which we're going to get to. But sometimes it's okay to turn around and say, this guy needs something a little bit. You know what? Guys, if y'all could clear a path, and we did that a lot Monday too. We cleared a path for some people Monday, because they needed something a little bit more than everyone else did. So, it's okay to be a part of the crowd. Being in the building is a big thing. But as Christians, as we mature, right, we need to continue to have our eyes and ears and hearts open to those that are around us, so that we may could enable a path that's a little bit less resistant for those guys to get the blessing. Okay? Next group. You know what? I wrote down that I was going to share a story, but it was completely comical. Instead of the Eddie James story, I was going to talk about going to the Auburn game. We went to the Auburn game with Aaliyah one time. She went to Auburn. But it was the Georgia game. That's why we went. Because, you know, Georgia was playing. Because Auburn was playing, obviously. This was in 2006. I remember like it was yesterday. Georgia won 37-15. Auburn was ranked number 4 in the country. Had one loss. And we had just lost to Vanderbilt and Kentucky back-to-back. And Matthew Stafford was a freshman and went in there. It was so good. It was so, so good. But anyways, yes, bless him. So anyways, I know, but I do want to, anyways, I go on that for a minute, but I know we're hosted. Well, anyways, I get into this game. Leah gets me a student card. I got to sit in the student section, and I don't know if you remember whose student section card you got me, but they take these things and they look at them and they match your face and you walk on in. I was a black female. Okay. No problems, you know, Auburn education, whatever. They're just like, get on in, man, and I'm appreciative of that. But I get in, and we didn't get to sit with you guys at the game. That was fine. We got our seats, and we got in, and we're sitting down and having a great time. Everybody's giving me, you know, a hard time because I was going to wear my red and black. But, yeah, you know, it was all in good fun. There was no problem, especially when we got loose on them a little bit. But before the game started, there was a couple sitting in front of us. It was male, female, they're a couple. I don't know if they're married. I don't know if they're boyfriend, girlfriend. I have no clue. But this fraternity shows up. They're my favorite. I can't stand them. If you were in one, I'm sorry because I'm about to really not be happy with those guys. So this couple's sitting down, and this fraternity, it's the guys that show up with the blazers to the football game because, you know, that's really comfortable to wear to a football game is a suit jacket. So they showed up with those because they're cool. And there was this really loud, boisterous guy, and he could be because he had 38 friends with him that could run and rally and fight anybody at the drop of a hat, because that's fair. But they get there, and they show up, and this couple's sitting in their row, which is first come, first serve, right? Just like the rock concert is, just like it was here with Jesus, it was first come, first serve. And so this guy's sitting there, and this big old, just, anyways, he says, hey, this is where, and I don't know, I don't do the frat or sorority thing. I'm not cool enough to do those things. But he says, this is where we sit. And that guy's like, it's first come, first serve, man. You know, we're here, you know. And he's like, well, daggone, we'll move you off. We got to move you, you know. And he goes on that long kick. And I watched it way too long. And I offered my services to the couple and said, hey, man, I appreciate you guys. But, you know, these guys, they were here, and they were a little small ruckus. Security took care of it. But I guess the point being in all of that was sometimes just because you're entitled to something and sometimes just because you are the person that sits here all the time does not mean you need to sit there today. Okay? Sometimes someone else needs your seat. When you guys invite people to sit in this seat when someone ain't here, man, make some folks feel pretty doggone, especially them young folks. It makes them feel pretty doggone special. Might make them feel weird, might make them pay attention a little bit, but it changes their perspective. It changes how they react in church. If someone right now were to say, all right, everybody stand up, everybody slide together, do this, it changes how you react, okay? Because right now you're sitting where you normally sit. Just my feet, okay? And you're sitting there and you're doing Wednesday night like you do Wednesday night. Sometimes it's okay to change perspective a little bit. Sometimes you need perspective to be changed so that you can see what you need to see. Because if you're always in your same seat and someone's trying to get in with a bed with a sick man, you may not see him. It's okay to change perspective and sit in the back from time to time so you can make things happen. And that's in the spiritual sense. That's not just a physical sense of an actual seat, all right? Sometimes it's okay to take a back seat. That one got me. That one convicted me pretty good. So are we the ones that are crowding? The next person. And this is the people that we minister to Sundays. Are we the sick? There's a man, obviously, that has palsy, 1 of 4. Are we the sick? Okay? And sometimes we're going to be the sick. And it's not a physical sickness, all right? It's not just a physical sickness. Not just with an affliction, but maybe with a hurt. The need to be carried. And I'm not talking about baby stuff. I'm not talking about poor, pitiful me. I had a tough week. People that are sick, you can see it. Okay, like you know the difference between a head cold and when a guy feels like he's just about to keel over and he needs someone to give him some Benadryl. I know all the guys are a lot worse at that than women are. We're baby it up pretty big. But we know the difference between when somebody's really hurt and when somebody just needs some help. And it's okay to be sick. If you're sick, you need people to minister to you. And that's okay. God reminded me of the story of Moses when they're fighting the Amalekites. And as long as his hands were, you guys can get there. I think it's in, can't remember the book off the top of my head, but maybe I will before it's all said and done. But as Moses has his hands up and the Israelites are fighting the Amalekites, they're winning the battle. When his hands come down, they start to lose the battle. So Aaron and Hur, they grab his hands and they lift his hands for him when he can't lift his hands to ensure victory. Sometimes we've got to be the guy that just holds somebody's hand up. And that's not easy. Because as you look down and you see your friends fighting, and you might see your friends dying, you want to be down there doing something else. But sometimes your job is going to be to hold somebody's hand open. Okay? Because that's going to be, that might be the difference between victory. Okay? And what we're seeing here, and the way God broke this down to me, there's levels to this thing. It's okay to be a noisemaker, but that shouldn't be where we seek to stop, right? That's not where we, it's okay to be part of the crowd. That's not where we seek to stop. And most of the time in this story, we stop and we glorify the folks that carry the sick. Because those are the guys, man. Those are the heroes. They would not be denied, right? Those are the guys that get things done. I call them the roof rippers as my characterization. But these guys, they're people that would not be denied, for not for themselves, but for their friend. They recognize the need in others' lives, and they will be ones who will hold them up as long as needed. Exodus, by the way, is a scripture. I actually did write it down. Exodus chapter 17 is where Aaron and Hur. That's awesome. But you can't be a guy that's carrying in a sick man if you're just making noise all the time. You can't be a guy that's carrying in a sick man if you're part of the crowd. You can't be the guy that's carrying in a sick man if you're sick all the time. To make it to there, you have to continually progress. And that's, I mean, obviously, that's the goal, is to continually to progress and get closer to God and get closer to God, not so that we can be closer to God, but so that others by us, like the moon, can reflect that light and all those good things that we've taught all the time. The goal is for others. And so it is a process, you know. Saban talks about that all the time. Embrace the process, right? Use the process. You can't deny what the guy's done over there. Enjoy the process. It's not fun. Sometimes you get, you know, clipped on. Sometimes you get beat on. Sometimes you get talked bad about. I guarantee you, if someone in the crowd would have started moving people and said, guys, move out of the way, we got a guy to get in here, that guy's going to get a little flack about that. Because somebody's going to turn around and say, well, he wasn't here before I was. I don't know who this guy thinks he is, moving things out of the way. It's not going to be easy. You know, to be a noisemaker, although it continue to progress, it's not going to be easy. But anyways, they and that whole process, and we've talked about it several times, but for some of you guys that may have not heard the story, okay, I'll read through it again. It says, when they could not come nigh unto him for the press, they uncovered the roof where he was, and when they had broken it up, they lay down the bed wherein the sick of the palsy lay. So these guys scaled the roof, right? Got onto it because they couldn't get into the home because there were too many people there. They scaled the roof and ripped the roof apart. I don't know if they used their hands. I don't know if they had some tools, grabbed some rocks. And when they had broken it up, right, then they laid this man down to where Jesus could see him. There was no other way for Jesus to see him. So they did all this not for themselves, but for their buddy, their friend. And we've got to have people that are willing to say, man, it ain't about me today, it's about you. And that's the same difference as turning around and sitting in a different seat spiritually. Okay? That's the same thing as being in the back of the crowd and saying, man, no, you can go ahead of me. And that's normally where I've always stopped in the story. It was like these guys had it going on. They recognized the need in someone else. They would not be denied. They were going to get their friend the help that he needed no matter what. Whether he wanted it or not, they were dragging him along. They took him up on that roof and they lowered him down into Jesus' presence. And then Jesus obviously does what we've already talked about him doing. He said, son, thy sins be forgiven. There's a little bit of an argument there. And he says, okay, get your bed and get out of here. And the guy picks his bed up and get out of here and leaves. The next character, though, that we see enter the story are these guys here. It says, but there were certain of the scribes sitting there and reasoning within their hearts. I labeled these guys the intrigued thinkers. All right, the intrigued thinkers. These guys, instead of saying, okay, this guy is received a supernatural healing that cannot take place with anything other than a supernatural higher power, instead of being in awe and in amazement and finding honor, right, and where God is, they are intrigued, and they need to think about things. Here's what I wrote down. I feel like this is good. The problem is sometimes thinkers aren't doers. We know that, but this is the good part here. And thinkers need justification in a worldly manner, which will never happen because the things that are being said and done are not of this world, but of the heavens. When we think in our heart and we're pondering and we're worried about what's God saying and what's God doing and all these things, instead of finding the honor and the awesomeness in God, thinkers aren't doers. And I'm not telling you, listen, I'm not telling you that meditation is not good and not to question someone's teaching, especially if they teach something that's jacked up and wrong. But I'm telling you that when you're in the presence of God, there's no denying that. And I think a lot of times we try to find the intrigue in that and say, well, how can we make this manifest again? Or how could such a thing happen here if the Bible might say this? And if you're in the presence of God and you are intrigued, I feel like you're wrong. I feel like because that your soul longs to be with its creator. If we are believers in God, and all that, we believe that we have a soul, and a soul is longing to be reunified with its origin, right? Which would be God, the creator. And if we are in the presence of God, that's all we should be worried about is being in awe and wonderment with our soul being with the creator, as opposed to pondering and think, how do I make this happen? And of course, Naaman's got a tremendous teaching, haven't made it real far in this, about how should we grow the church and how should we do these things and this, that, and the other. And it's hard to listen to all his stuff at once, man. There's just not enough time in the day. I mean, and what's good about it, I would challenge you guys, if you're trying to push a little bit deeper into some things, get into some good podcasts, guys. Do it while you're cutting the grass, okay? Do it while you're whatever it is, I mean, because that cat will stretch you, all right? But anyways, I know he's got some good teachings about that right now, and I'm about halfway through that thing, and that's kind of what sparked all this. But I would caution you not to weigh everything out and not to necessarily worry about everything that's done, and spend a little bit more time in awe and in wonder of the Creator, because these guys were unable to receive a blessing. All they've received was a rebuke, basically. All right? And that's what's on the way for you, if that's the case. And so Jesus obviously turns to him, and I could see Jesus kind of saying this in a mocking matter. And this is just me, this way my brain works. And he says, dude, what's it matter whether I tell a guy his sins are forgiven or get up because your legs are fixed, all right? What you need to know and recognize is that the Son of God is here, and I've got power to make this happen. He says exactly what we just talked about in here. He says, why reason ye these things in your hearts, whether it's easier to say the sick of the palsy, thy sins be forgiven thee, or to say, arise, take up thy bed and walk. But that you may know that the Son of Man hath power on earth to forgive sins. That's what you should have picked out from this. Not what I said, not the process, but the Son of God is here on earth. And that hasn't changed. The Son of God still resides here on earth through the Holy Spirit. That hasn't changed. And he still has the power to forgive sins. He still has the power to heal sick bodies. He still has the power to create multitudes. He still has the power to have a crowd so big to want to be in the presence that they're pressing against the door. That's still the case. That's what we should be in wonderment of. And then the last character that God had me write down, because I've never made it here. I've never made it to this point because it's never mentioned, is the host. That's somebody's house. I don't know. That's somebody's house. Somebody hosted the presence of God. Somebody hosted the living God. And so, again, being the dictionary guy that I am, does anybody have anything, by the way? Jeffrey asked me if I was going to let anybody speak tonight, and I told him I was, and apparently I lied. Does anybody have anything to add before we go any further?
You're really just trying to get into the presence. Because if you notice, whether it was the guy that asked him to do it or the four guys, they brought him there with a physical need, being the driver. And that's not what Jesus addressed first. And the way wherever you're at in the story, whatever character you are that day, I mean, don't have preconceived ideas, number one, of what God may do, or number two, how he may do it. Because if you're tied to that and you lose the sight of just his presence, you can even show up with the right reason and no impure motive and leave discouraged because he didn't do what you thought you needed done. Because he dealt with the spiritual before the physical. And you know. Exactly. I'm not sure. And the way my mind reads this scripture is like it's almost the questioning of the scribes led him to do the second part. He could have left not healed if not for their reasoning. I don't know that. But he definitely dealt with the other first.
Correct. So.
That's good, Brett. That's good. Man still activating supernatural in God. Last character, and then I don't know where God will take us from there, but I'm sure he'll take care of it, is the host. So I started to think about what a host was, because the host is not specifically mentioned in the text. So I guess I'll openly ask, well, what is a host? And I always hope once one person decides to answer, because most people usually don't.
Guess what?
Someone that opens their home to others. And that's one of the first definitions I thought about. The second one, if y'all will walk with me, was a hostess, someone that entertains, right? And says, hey, come on in, let me get you some drinks and stuff like that. And for whatever reason, that wasn't good, because I was going to write some things down and go with that. And God said, no, I want you to get on the internet, I want you to Google what a host was. The second definition of the host, they got any science teachers in here? I know Jess is, right? You're right. A host is an animal or a plant on which a parasite or commensal, that's a big word there, organism lives. A host is an animal or a plant where a parasite or a commensal organism can reside. That's what we're, now take out the parasite part and go with commensal organism. Yeah, parasite's bad, okay? Because he's not a commensal. I had to Google commensal because I'm not a science teacher. So commensal is this. It is a relationship where one benefits and the other derives no harm. Man, so we would be an animal, because that's what we are, in which an organism lives. That is what God has called us to be, and that is it. We are to host His presence by being an organism that says, do what you may, let me use me, there will be no harm that comes. All I want to do is see benefit. Whatever it takes, that's all I need, is to see some benefit. And God absolutely just started wrecking me on that in the side room. There's no mention of the host whatsoever. There's also no mention about the fussing of the roof, which belonged to the host. Maybe he did. Maybe I'm sure it was rectified somehow in some way. I bet those four guys stayed. Probably the dude that picked his bed up was like, dude, I'll help you with your roof. I don't know how it happened because it's not mentioned, but it's not mentioned that he fusses. He didn't care. God, whatever benefits us, I know will do me no harm. And I kept studying. I kept praying. And God kept giving me some things. To be a host might cost you the roof. What does a roof do? It keeps you safe. Or it can open your house to a blessing that you would never see coming before. Sometimes we're too dependent on things that we think we need to keep us safe and in our box. Sometimes it's okay for the roof to get blown off, because the God who's willing to do something great can't do it inside our box, inside our walls that we want to keep Him in. God, if you could just preach to the multitudes, y'all try not to knock over the vase I got in the corner. If you could keep things pretty and I use that. That's not what He asked us to be. God, my home's yours, whatever. We'll move chairs out into the foyer. We'll put them back there. We'll pull them down from the attic and move a 1985 TV out of the way to get to them. Whatever it takes. I saw it. My kids would have no clue what that thing. What is this thing on the back? But we the whole TV. We can't pawn that one, man. That's, I ain't getting anything for us. But it might cost us a roof to get some things that we need done. Okay? And so I guess the challenge to be the host is, are we willing to say, hey, hop on, man, I'm gonna carry you to wherever you need to go, Jesus. I will be the host for you, because there's not going to be any harm that comes to me because we have a great commensal relationship. Nothing that's going to happen is going to happen except for benefit. The only thing that can happen is benefit if I'm a pure host. And I'm not going to fuss. If you want to rip the roof off, rip my roof off. If you want to knock the walls down, that's fine too, God, because something happened for somebody and it wasn't even me, but I seen God move. I witnessed the flesh of God perform a miracle in my presence. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise be to God. Hallelujah. What can I? And it, I don't read anywhere where God comes back to this house. Maybe I'm wrong. You've got a little more Bible knowledge than I do. I don't see anywhere where God comes back. Says, hey, man, dude, this is the guy's house where the roof came off and the dude got here. I got to go back to that guy's house. No, he keeps on his journey. I don't read about where the host says, man, I wish he'd come back. I even let him rip my... Be available to God in whatever it is he wants you to do. And don't worry about being the guy in the back of the crowd that has to move out of the way so someone else can get there. Don't worry about being the noisemaker so that someone will show up. Don't worry about being the guy to carry someone even though you may not get a personal blessing. Don't question what God wants to do. Live as a host for his presence. God's manifest glory, like on earth as it is in heaven, will happen. And that's our only job. And it's a process, guys. It is an absolute process. And God just kind of opened my eyes to that. Whew. And that's it. That's all I got for you guys tonight. So, you go ahead.
As Nick was talking about the host and talking about the relative obscurity of the host and all that stuff, but what it does, the Lord immediately carried me to Edom and the Ark of the Covenant in 2 Samuel 5. And y'all remember the story when Uzzah, they were moving the ark, and they were doing it the wrong way. And Uzzah reached up because the ark stumbled, and he put his hand on it, and God struck him dead. And David was like, God, I don't get it. I've been doing things right, and this didn't turn out. You know, somebody that I care about got killed. And so he's like, man, I got to back off this thing. This is way more. I don't get it. And so he said, let's park this at Obed-Edom's house. And so they parked it at his house. What was he? He was a host. And because he said, I'll be a host to this, I mean, when the king says, we're going to park it at your house, he really didn't have a choice. But I want to go ahead and tell you something, guys. God's parked some stuff at my house, and I really didn't have a choice. You know, I didn't run after this ministry calling, Jeremy. And it was like, ooh, that wasn't my big aspiration. I want to be a minister and all that. And, you know, there have been many times through the 20-something years, I was like, really, God, what the heck? You know, my life would have been a lot simpler. But that he was a host, and he comes in, and we know the story. You know, a few months pass, and all of this stuff, and David was like, well, I wonder what happened, you know, and all of this stuff going down, and he looked down there, and he says, what happened with old Obed-Edom and everything with the ark? How's that going? And they're like, dude, his household is getting so blessed. I mean, you know, his crops were flourishing, his business was flourishing, everything was getting pregnant. I mean, everything was just flourishing and all that. They said he has been so blessed since the ark took up residence there. Since he started hosting, it is amazing at the blessings that are coming out of this. And so David didn't say, well, I'm going to go to Obed-Edom's house and hang out and let's have revival services at Obed-Edom's house. He said, I'm going to get that and bring it to my place so that he could host it. And when you come in and you host the presence properly and God manifests in an amazing way like he did, there may not be a billboard that says this is the place, although it will become a memorial, but it won't be a memorial for you. It'll be a memorial for what God can do. And it stirs other people and gives them permission to host in the same way. And so David's sitting here, he said, if Obed-Edom didn't get killed, then I can host it and I won't get killed. And my heart is to host this. And so he goes and he gets it and he brings it in, and the rest is history. You know, the word says that David was a man after God's own heart, and he was the most superior king in the history of Israel, even though he was flawed, because he was a host. But I want to tell you, Obed-Edom is somebody that triggered it for David. And when we will host properly, these guys were like, man, they saw what happened at this cat's house that we don't know anything about. And they're like, you know what? It's okay for Jesus to come to my house. It's okay for somebody rips the roof off of my house. I ain't going to freak out. It's okay if the Holy Ghost blows up. How many of y'all, when y'all go to you've been to a revival service somewhere, all that, and I mean, the Holy Ghost just totally gets loose and wrecks the place, then you're like, you know what? It's okay if he does that in my life. It's okay if he does that in my life. It's okay if he does it in my church. It's okay if he does it in my group of friends and all of that stuff. So that's the thing about being a host, is it may keep you in obscurity as far as the being known and all of this stuff, but it will always give other people a Genesis moment and permission to host the same. Okay? So that's huge. And I love the fact, to me, the most important person in this whole thing besides Jesus is the host. Besides Jesus, he's the most important cat. And he's the guy that's not even mentioned. Every one of these other people are mentioned. He's the guy that does not get mentioned. We got to be good with that. We got to be great with that. We got to be great with that. You know, exactly. Because what is the focus? Is that the Spirit of God moved in this house, and this cat got healed. And he was great seeing this joker just run out the door with his bed, and he says, I ain't worried about that. I ain't worried about the mess. I ain't worried about the stuff and all of that stuff. We got to be good with that. We got to be good with that. To toil and labor in obscurity, and or to just host the presence in obscurity so that somebody else can be impacted. Man, that's what ministry's all about. God, you just fill me so that somebody else gets infected with it. You know, and that's what we got to be great with, guys. You know, so anyway, that's just what I want to throw in there.
I'm not ignorant to the fact that we need to spend some time with the Lord tonight. I know there's a lot of people who want to spend some time on the altar and just pray. Guys, maybe when we get some music, I don't know if God convicted you about being the host and not being in proper alignment, or if God said, hey, man, come on down here and be the sick guy and cry a little bit with me tonight, whatever it may be. Maybe you're working on advancing through spiritual promotions from being this guy to this guy and this guy so you can be a proper host. I don't know what it is. If God spoke anything to you tonight, I want you to know that this place is a host of the presence of God tonight, and he can do that through whatever medium, like we were talking, whether it's a CD, praise and worship, or moving tables. So let's just stand to our feet. We'll get some music playing, and I just want to pray for you guys. Don't wait for me to say amen to come to the altar if that's what you feel like you need to do. Lord, we just thank you for this day. God, I thank you so much, Father God, for taking time out, Father, just to speak with us personally, Father. I thank you for being the God of heaven and earth, God, the first and the last, Father, the Alpha and the Omega, God. I thank you for being you above all else, Lord. I thank you for the group of people that are in this place right now, God. I feel a love and I feel a unity, Father God, and I just thank you for that, God. I pray that you would meet us here, Father, whatever the needs are, Father God. I pray that you would meet us here, Father, that you would show up, Father God. We openly declare that Victory Fellowship in this place tonight, God, we will be a host for you, Father, looking for benefit for to us, nothing, Father God, but the kingdom, Father God. And we love you and we thank you and we praise you, Father. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.